Alrighty, saddle up. It is the Wednesday edition, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I wishing you the very best on this June 3rd, 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show two places. My website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. My website also has all of our podcasts and the complete show archive to listen to the program anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com. Today we're going to talk in the first half hour about education with Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is one of the board members of the TUSD governing board, and then it we'll talk lifestyle and wellness at 12:30, one of our big issues here on the show, trying to keep people fit and feeling good. Jack Chalam will be with us, the nutrition reporter. Jack will be happy to answer your health and wellness questions, and Dr. Stegeman would be happy to answer your education questions and concerns on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, which is now officially open for you at 790-2040. You are also invited to check out our Facebook page. You can find it under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Very well. Thank you, Bill.
It's good to have you back on the program. Dr. Mark Stegeman, for folks who don't know, is an associate professor at the University of Arizona Department of Economics, and his specialty is something called game theories.
Well, I'm a microtheorist, but game theory is some big part of that.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you explain to our listeners in one sentence what game theory is all about? Because I don't want to spend much time on it.
It's about when people are in a conflict situation predicting what the outcome will be.
And you've been in a few conflict situations.
Yeah, not always good at predicting the outcome, so I guess I need to go back to school.
On the TUSD board, you've been in more than your share of conflicts. Hey, I listened a little bit, went back and listened to our interview with H.T. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez was with us about a month ago, right before I left for vacation, and he talked a bit about his future, and he announced basically here on the show that if he were to be offered by you, Dr. Stegeman, and your colleagues on the board, a two-year extension, that would give him kind of a five-year deal, because he's 2 years in to a three-year contract. He said he'd go for it, and that he'd like to stay here in Tucson. He would like to see stability. Are you ready to make a decision on that right now?
I think it would depend what the contract looks like. I think some good things have happened in the last several years and some things not so good. I think the district does need stability, and starting another superintendent search in a few months would be very disruptive to the district, and I think that's a consideration.
If he were one of your students and you...
You know, Miguel Cuevas, who was on the board, was one of my students.
Oh, all right.
So this is not a totally hypothetical, but go on.
Okay, well, you know where I'm going with this. If he were one of your students right now, and you're in the education business, what grade would you give him right now on his about 2 years into the job? Come on.
Well, when we give grades to the university, we're supposed to have given a protocol, a sort of a grading scale, and told the students in advance. And okay. I never gave him my grading scale. But I will say more seriously that, to me, there are two metrics that matter for the district.
Okay.
Student achievement, which is hard but not impossible to measure, and enrollment. And enrollment, we've been losing 900 to 1,000 students every year for a dozen years on average. And that's a little bit down. We lost about 850 this year, but it's not significantly down. So we haven't improved much there, although the economy is getting better, so I would think we would, but it hasn't happened yet. And we didn't do the Ames test this year, but last year we had more schools go down than up. Mm-hmm. Under John Pettacone, we had 2 years of big increases, but last year we didn't.
Okay.
And so on those two criteria, which I've always said are the most important to me, we're not doing that well. But I do think that there are positive things happening. So it's a mixed bag.
Does that mean a C? I mean, I'm just...
Well, let's put, the district is rated a C by the state.
Okay.
And so maybe that means it's a C.
All right. The board had a discussion this week about the budget, and we've heard that TUSD is in some really horrible condition right now with the money picture. Is that mischaracterizing it?
Well, over the long term, it's not. We know that Arizona has very low education funding, and I think too low, and there have been cuts, and there probably will be cuts. But this year, contrary to some of what's been in the media, we did not take a cut from the state. Now, we are losing money because we lost enrollment, but that's different. That's not the legislature's fault. But if you take that part out, we actually got a small increase.
Really?
Well, $100,000 to $200,000. I mean, so small, it's basically nothing. You could say it's a break even.
So what we're hearing about the state hammering TUSD isn't true?
Well, not this year. We got about a little over $6.5 million gained on the operations side, and a little more than $6.5 million lost, mostly on the capital side. But we have fungibility between those accounts. It doesn't really matter, and it adds up to basically a zero. So our budget problems are two. One is the loss of enrollment, and we're losing more than $4 million because of that, so that's significant. And the second is this year we have been running a big operating deficit. According to staff's own figures, we've burned up $6 or $7 million of our cash reserves, and that's not sustainable.
So what's the deficit, red ink going in, looking at $6 million about?
Well, I think it's more like $7 million, and mm-hmm. then we do have the $4.5 million enrollment cut. So if you add those two numbers up, neither of which is coming from the legislature, we've got about $11.5 million to cover.
So going back over this loss of enrollment, over the last 10 years, how many students have we lost at TUSD? I mean...
Well, I didn't bring
kind
that...
Kind of roughly. You had said we lost... How many did you say just this last year?
About 850.
850, okay.
And they're projecting...
So is it safe to say about 10,000 maybe over 10 years? Or?
Well, that's not far off. It's been an average of 900 to 1,000. It goes up and down a little bit. And, of course, it changes in its closure years. But I'd say over the last 10 years, we've lost probably about 10,000. Close to.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us, 790-2040. If you have any questions about TUSD or about education, the obvious question is, if there's this multi-million dollar deficit that you say is could be close to $10 or $11 million, will there be layoffs? How are you going to make up for this money?
Well, we have had a lot of layoffs. I mean, not layoffs, but we have had loss of positions, because when you lose enrollment, you lose positions. And so if you go back over the last 4 years, we have many fewer positions for teachers, for custodians, for librarians. And so when the positions disappear, you don't have to refill them. The only category, according to our external audit, where the positions have really gone up in the last 4 years is central administration, where we've had a 36% increase in positions.
Adding more administrators?
Well, that's what our external auditors reported this year. We went up 36%. And over the same period, we've cut about 70% of our librarians. So it's not a pretty picture. But I do give them some credit for not having layoffs. And partly it's attrition, but partly it's good management. During one of Liz Fagan's years, we had a huge number of RIFs, and then we ended up calling a lot of those people back, and some of them had taken other jobs, and that was not well managed. And this administration has done better with the RIFs than that.
And Dr. Fagan was here for about 18 months, like a year and a half.
So. Well, almost 2 years, although she was kind of in and out at the end, yes. And she's done very well where she...
Suburban Denver, right?
Douglas County, it's a very wealthy district, mm-hmm. and she also learned from what she did here. She was very good in some ways and weaker in other ways. Every superintendent has their strengths and weaknesses, and they vary.
What's the deal here with these substitute teachers, outsourcing the substitute teachers? They're very concerned, many of these teachers, now that they have to completely reapply. They have to go through a temporary an agency or something like that to get a job.
Well, I think they've been grandfathered into the agency initially, so they are not in immediate danger of losing their jobs, and then I guess the agency will evaluate them as they go forward. But the big issue for me, well, several big issues. One is that their retirement benefits are being cut substantially.
Really?
And so they're being put, now they're going to be on a 401k with a 4% match, but it's a significant cut to those benefits. And while before they actually had no health insurance at all, which I'm embarrassed to say I didn't realize until this issue came up that we weren't giving our substitutes any health insurance, they are now going to get a much weaker package than our regular teachers. So it's more than they had before, but it's going to be much less than our regular teachers. And that's what outsourcing lets us do. See, it allows us to avoid putting them on the same health insurance package. And so to me, a substitute is a teacher.
Yeah, I agree.
And in fact, in many ways, dealing with more adverse, more difficult situations.
I would say that would be the case.
And we have a hard time, practically speaking, getting enough substitutes, especially in hard fields. So I feel like this is a move in the wrong direction, and I'm not very supportive of it, although I'm as aware of anyone about the budget problems.
Let's work Cindy in before we take the break, Ed. Let's go to Cindy because she has kind of on topic here about why enrollment is down. Hi, Cindy.
Hi there. That is basically my question for the good doctor, and that is I heard him mention that when enrollment goes down, obviously there are positions that don't need to be filled for empty classrooms or empty buses, that sort of thing, but I am not aware of what the causes are for reduced enrollment. Is it lower population? Is it not as many kids in the district because they're moving out? Is it competition from other districts when people are moving around?
All right.
Well, it's some of all those things, and everyone has their own theory. Now, several years ago, the immigration law, I think, promoted a lot of outflow of Tucson, and the economy was really bad, but we haven't had any of those things lately. We also haven't had any big charter school openings lately. Now, several years ago, there was a lot of entry by new charter schools, and those take a whack out of enrollment, but that has slowed down too. And so why we are still losing enrollment now with the economy doing better, with the charter situation more stabilized, I think is something that goes back to what happens school by school. And we have schools that families love to be in, and there are quite a few of those. We have some really good schools in TUSD, and we have other schools that families tend to flee. And the schools where they're leaving are right now beating the other ones. But I think it has more to do with what's happening in individual schools right now.
Okay. Let's take the break right here on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Stegeman will stick around for another segment. That means you have a chance to call in, an opportunity at 790-2040. Be right back. The program is Buckmaster. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 1221 on this midweek edition of our program on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. He is a member of the TUSD Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman has graciously accepted our invitation to stay for a second segment, so he'll cut a little bit into his lunch hour.
Well, that's fine, Bill. But before I get too much into TUSD, I wanted to congratulate you for being inducted or soon to be inducted into the Arizona Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Thank you very much.
Well, that is great.
Mentioning that. Thank you very much. Well, Ed just handed this to me. This came across the wire from the Phoenix Business Journal. Arizona ranks dead last in teacher pay and classroom spending. We've been down near the bottom, I guess, pretty much on quite a few of these surveys, but overall, Arizona spent $7,200 per pupil in 2013, and so only Idaho and Utah spend less.
Well, we're always battling it out in the bottom five with like states like Idaho, Utah, Mississippi. So it's nice to, and I speak ironically, of course, to really beat them and come in dead last. In Kansas is a very conservative state, more conservative than Arizona by the data, and they have a very conservative legislature. In the past few weeks, they have been talking about raising taxes to fund education. And if you look at the comments that the legislators have been making in the press, they say, well, this tax-cutting strategy didn't really attract that much business to Kansas anyway, and now maybe we have to go a different way. And I wish the Arizona legislature would read that stuff.
Well, you know, our state lawmakers not all that friendly when it comes to the federal government. We want to, you know, states' rights, very important here. But as this article points out today in the Phoenix Journal, Arizona relies on federal money for 14.6% of its education spending, and that's fifth highest in the country. So we take a lot of federal money.
I didn't know that statistic.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I think partly that's because we put in so little state money. and also we have at least down in this area, we have pretty low income, although that's not as true in Maricopa. So I don't know what explains that fifth highest.
This is disturbing about our playgrounds in TUSD. I know Channel 9's done a lot of reports on this. But a recent safety audit showing nearly 80% of the district, TUSD's playgrounds had dangerous conditions. And then this news coming out that the district has admitted negligence in a playground accident. And that's part of a $23 million lawsuit that's going to be coming up in Superior Court. So that's pretty disturbing.
That particular accident was horrible at Fruchtendler. And some of the staff that were involved are no longer there. But when you admit you're basically 100% responsible and don't even contest it in court, that's a pretty bad situation.
How do you think we're getting along, or you are getting along in the district with Diane Douglas, the new superintendent? She had this listening tour. I don't know if you were able to attend that event.
No, unfortunately not. I've had one or two chances to talk with her briefly. Hopefully I'll have more. I think the jury is still out on her. They're engaged in this legal tussle up there between her and the Board of Education. I don't know enough to interpret that except to say it's probably not helping any children. I'm not sure what that's about. But going to education policy, it's a little bit early. She's was very vocal against the Common Core, and I don't entirely agree with that. I think some of the attacks on the Common Core have been, hard for me to understand. I think you need to focus on what was the content of it. A lot of it was developed at the University of Arizona, the math part. The guy who chaired that committee was the math department chair here. Mm-hmm. And I think people have focused on the fact that Obama's promoting it, and that's not really the issue. The issue is, what does it say? And I think most of what it says is good.
How is your relationship with the board right now? Often the vote is 3-2, with you and Mr. Hicks voting no.
The board is...
I mean, is everybody on the same page, or what?
Yeah, we're on the opposite sides of the same page, Bill. It's like some of us are on the front and some of us are on the back. Well, I think there's too much discussion in TUSD about the board, and I think it would help a lot if we stopped talking about the board and talked about the schools. But since you asked, no, the board is not working very well. We had a board member, a few weeks ago, print a letter to the editor taking a huge whack at Mr. Hicks in public. We've had similar sorts of stuff with board members taking whacks at each other, and I don't think that's helpful. But I also don't think it would be helpful for me to get into that right here, because that would just add to it.
How about limiting the audience interaction? There was some question whether or not folks will have a chance to air their grievances at the board meetings.
Ms. Grijalva was pushing that, and she pulled it back. And so we never actually voted on it.
So people can go to the board meetings and have their say?
Yes. Well, that wasn't actually the issue here. The issue was whether board members would have a chance to respond and interact with the audience to even a very limited degree. And right now it's very limited, and she had proposed to cut that off completely so that the board couldn't say anything. But in the end, there was a lot of resistance to that, and she pulled that back.
Earlier in the year, a lot of questions about an internal auditor. That position will be filled, I guess, right? You're going to start advertising for that?
I think they have advertised.
Okay.
And I think the outgoing audit committee, two of the members are being booted off, which is very unfortunate, I think. But they are not being booted off to July 1, and the interview supposedly will happen before that. And so the audit committee will
Who's
interview...
Who's booting them off?
Well, the board booted them off.
Oh, okay.
Two members. And one... The two most vocal members, they added a residency requirement and booted them off. And I think booting people off retroactively is pretty rude. But Dr. Sanchez, I think maybe partly because of the public pressure, a lot of pressure, did say, okay, we're going to have an internal auditor, even if the board didn't adopt the policy, and we're going to have the outgoing audit committee members interview. And I'm very pleased with that. And those two members are Jimmy Lovelace and Chuck Kill. And if they say that they think they have a strong candidate, that'll be good enough for me, and I'll support it.
And this will be the first time we've had an internal auditor?
No, they had actually two many years ago. But they were released because of some combination of budget cuts and too much snooping around. I've heard different accounts, but that was before I was on the board. But it's not unprecedented for us, but it's been a long time.
So are you in favor of this?
Well, I'm a little skeptical because there's no policy behind it. And so there are a lot of promises about how this will operate, and we don't know whether that will happen. But my mindset is, let's wait and see. And I'm willing, if there's a good candidate, I'll vote for it, and I'll cross my fingers, and I'll hope it works properly. And that'll be a win. It's been many, many years. As you know, I've been pushing for this for years. And if we get a good candidate and the job, the person has any reasonable level of independence,
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key, the independence, right?
And it's unfortunate we don't have that in policy. Mm-hmm. So it's basically promises, but...
So you're saying policy, it's not in writing?
It's not really in writing. But I'm reserving judgment. And we'll see how it goes. And if it goes well, then I'll be the first to say that was a big step forward for us.
All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman with the governing board of TUSD. What are you going to do this summer?
I'm going to catch up on all of my U of A administrative work and maybe even send a newsletter to my TUSD list, which hasn't heard from me in months. And I don't know whether they're really sad about that. But
well, your newsletter that comes out, you publish it, what, every month?
Well, I used
no,
to.
And but it's very been... long sometimes. I mean, I don't say that as a knock on you. I guess the word would have been more, you're very thorough. With your
no, you can say that as a knock. It can be verbose, but yeah. You know, there's a lot happening in TUSD, Bill.
Okay.
And I don't want to cheat the reader of important detail.
Maybe there should be a Cliff Notes version right at the top.
I was sort of doing that at the end of last
All
year.
Right.
So
thanks,
I'll try to do that again.
Mark, good to see you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, and congratulations again.
Thank you very much. Mark Stegeman with us on the Buckmaster Show. Jack Chalom is waiting in the house, and he's waiting for your call at 790-2040. We're going to talk wellness on the Buckmaster Show, one of our favorite topics, when we continue.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:34 on this lovely Wednesday. A little bit cooler. Well, when it gets over 100 degrees, you can't really tell. It's supposed to be a degree or two perhaps cooler than yesterday. if you are looking for nutrient combinations to protect the brain and support healthy moods, sounds like a very good thing to be looking for. The answer to that question is explored in the lead story of The Nutrition Reporter. The Nutrition Reporter is an independent newsletter that reports about vitamins, minerals, and food therapies. The Nutrition Reporter newsletter is published by The Nutrition Reporter, Jack Challum. He is the monthly nutrition contributor to The Buckmaster Show. Jack is based here in Tucson. He's well known all over the country as a top personal nutrition coach. He's one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition. He's a best-selling author of more than 20 books, including The Inflammation Syndrome, and his latest book is called No More Fatigue. All of his books are, pretty much all the books, still in print on Amazon. How are you, Jack?
I'm doing great, Bill. You know, you mentioned the triple-digit weather here.
Uh-huh.
I will never complain again because I just got back from 2 weeks in Italy where it was hot and humid.
Mm.
It felt like New York City in July.
Mm.
And this feels so much better here, believe me.
So perhaps the next time maybe you should head west like I did.
That's not a bad idea. I am scheduled to lecture in Japan in October.
There you go. That's west.
And I have to say, Japan, you know, I've been there three times now. This will be my fourth trip.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a second home.
Yes, and you love Japan. And, well, you've done some work with Nikon. And one thing I didn't mention in the introduction, Jack, is a really well-respected photographer. That's part of his business. He has Jack Challum photography.com. Did I get that right?
JackChallum.com/photography.
And we always mention this, and we really should, because it's a real honor that it was the calendar of that Nikon puts out. And Nikon can choose a lot of images for their calendar, and you were chosen, your image, of White Sands, New Mexico, in October on the 2014 calendar.
September of 14.
Oh, right.
And these were 12 selections out of 100,000 submissions.
Whoa, whoa. Very good.
Blows me away every time
that's amazing.
Think about it.
Amazing. Nutrition for our brain and keeping it healthy, that is your lead story. What did this research, some new research on nutrients that work kind of together to give you what you need?
Yeah, this is really about nutrient synergism. And there are two studies that really drive home that synergism in terms of protecting the brain against age-related degeneration. First study was done at Oxford University in England. It looked at people with what's called mild cognitive impairment, or MCI. This is a common prelude to Alzheimer's disease. And so some of the subjects got a B-complex supplement. Others got placebos. And what the researchers did differently from other studies was they measured what the effects of the B vitamins were relative to the subject's existing omega-3 levels.
Hmm.
And we know the omega-3s are good for the brain. Well, the people who had high levels of omega-3s, they benefited from the B vitamins. They had a 40% reduction in brain atrophy during the course of the study. That's major.
That's huge.
And the people with low levels of the omega-3s, they did not benefit from the B vitamins in terms of brain atrophy and mild cognitive improvement. The second study looked at the omega-3s and vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really more of a review of existing studies rather than a brand new study. But it was done by Bruce Ames, who's probably one of the top five cell biologists in the world. And he, again, made this point. There's this synergism between the omega-3s and vitamin D that really seems to play out in mood. And people with low levels of these nutrients are more likely to have hyperactive behavior, bipolar, schizophrenia, impulsiveness, depression, things of that sort.
So getting back to the first subject, the first study, the with the vitamin B, so did these subjects, half of them took several vitamin B, like supplements, multivitamin Bs a day? Is that correct?
The study used three B vitamins, which you would find in any B complex or multivitamin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they were folic acid, B6, and B12.
Mm-hmm.
And this group of vitamins has many other benefits in the body. And again, really the take-home message here is in terms of brain health, they helped if the subjects had pre-existing high levels of omega-3s, which I think in this study meant they were eating a lot of fish.
Mm-hmm. Does it mean they were taking supplements of omega-3s?
I don't think they were. Typically,
okay.
In a study like this, they would sort of filter out people who were already taking supplements of any sort.
So, again, the take-home message would be that a vitamin B complex and taking omega-3 supplements could be very good for your brain.
Exactly. And that would essentially be my recommendation. And if someone went to one of the natural food stores or health food stores in town, they would find things like a multivitamin supplement in a base of omega-3 oils. Perfect combination.
Jack Chalam is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any kind of nutrient questions about supplements, minerals, or foods, Jack Chalam would be happy to take your question again at 790-2040. And a lot of times we don't think about, when we think about kind of the blood that flows through our heart and lungs, we're not thinking that's the same blood that flows through our brain.
Exactly. And so people tend to think about, this is good for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But typically what's good for the heart is good for the lungs, good for the brain, et cetera.
Jack, you go into more about omega-3s in this issue, and you also go into vitamin D, and we've talked about this before, but vitamin D levels, folks are notoriously low in those levels. I finally had mine checked, and indeed, I was low, and it's very typical for people living in a place that gets all this sunshine to be low in vitamin D.
Yeah, and it's mainly because we're dashing between home and the office and the car, and, you know, spending time out in the sun is an idea that has been scared out of us because of the potential risk of skin cancer. Now, here's the catch-22. If your vitamin D level is up, your risk of skin cancer is lower than average, including melanoma.
All right. Let's go now to the live line. I believe Victoria would like to speak with Jack Chalam and our audience. Go ahead, Victoria.
Yes, good afternoon. I just had a question. I was diagnosed with diabetic type 2, and I was just wondering what the doctor would recommend for vitamins.
You were just diagnosed diabetic, you said?
Well, it was like 6 months ago.
Okay.
I have a book. I think it's one of my two best books called Stop Prediabetes Now.
Mm-hmm.
All the recommendations apply to type 2 diabetes. Basically, it's a higher protein, lower carbohydrate diet, a little more physical activity, a couple of supplements that actually help the body manage blood sugar levels, which have the benefit of reducing your dependent on drugs that regulate blood sugar levels. One of the truisms about nutrition is you have side benefits, whereas with drugs, you always have side effects.
Interesting. And your book, again, it's called Stop?
Stop Prediabetes Now, and you can find it at Amazon.com.
And that is just an epidemic. people being told, well, you're very close to being a full-blown diabetic. And that when you get that diagnosis, that's when you can go to work. You can reverse that.
Yes, yeah. You can. Yeah. And going back to the late 1990s, I was actually pre-diabetic.
Wow.
And I was able to reverse that within a year of literally getting my act together in terms of eating habits. If you let it progress to type 2 diabetes, it's more of an uphill battle. But anything you can do basically extends your life expectancy and reduces your risk of complications.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, and we'll be back with Jack Chalom. Our 790-2040 live line number for you. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or make a comment to Jack Chalom, he'll be here till the top of the hour. Be right back.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for the monthly showdown. Our commentators are Sean McCluskey and David Morales, plus the Buckmaster Show legal contributor Don Luce answers your legal questions noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, and for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive, I invite you to check out my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, when the temperature hits 100 degrees plus in Tucson. That means the three-hour road trip to Silver City will certainly pay dividends, because their elevation is about anywhere from 6 to 6,500 feet. That means very, very pleasant days and relatively cool nights up there at that elevation. They have so much going on in Silver City this weekend, including they have a Wild West professional rodeo in Silver City. And coming up in the end of July, their very famous Clay Festival, a week-long celebration of all things clay.
You know, Bill.
Jack Chalom with us. Yeah,
I was in Silver City for a long weekend in April.
Uh-huh.
And it was wonderful. And, you know, the last time I was there was maybe 10 years ago.
Right. It's really, the downtown's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. It's fun. Good restaurants. Nice people.
Yeah, I mean, the New York Times called some of their restaurants top-notch, actually did a piece about it. So Silver City, worth it, the trip over there, and you can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. It has the fine listing of things to do, places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat. Jack Chalom is with us, the nutrition reporter. And Jack, before we continue on with this month's edition of the Nutrition Reporter, we have Ingrid wanting to make a comment. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You were talking earlier about the connection between vitamin D and skin cancer. Could you review that, please? And also, I'd like to know about anti-inflammatories, and which apparently are in olive oil, and yet they create a lot of irritation in the throat. And isn't that in itself a hazard to one's health?
Okay, two-part question.
Yeah, vitamin D, if you Google Dr. Michael Holick, H-O-L-I-C-K, he's published a number of papers on vitamin D as it relates to a lower risk of skin cancer. And I think the underlying concept here is really inner protection used in conjunction with outer protection, which would be sunscreen after at least, you know, maybe 10 minutes in the sun. And from talking with him over the years, that's his typical recommendations. First 10 minutes in the sun, no sunscreen, then apply it. In terms of anti-inflammatories, you're right. Olive oil is anti-inflammatory. If it irritates your throat, I'm going to wonder if you just might have an allergy or allergy-like sensitivity to it. In terms of natural anti-inflammatories, fruits and veggies, the more diverse, the better. You're not going to get the same anti-inflammatory effect from grains or from meat. You will get it from cold water fish like salmon and mackerel and herring. I think that sort of covers it, given the time constraints, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ingrid. Vitamin D requirements have been seriously underestimated. You write that in the Nutrition Reporter this month in June.
This is one of those seismic shift studies, and it was actually two studies. One followed the other. You know, I think most of us are familiar with the recommended daily requirements and the daily values. These are developed by a group of volunteer people that form the Institute of Medicine. Well, a group of researchers calculated that they underestimated the actual requirement of vitamin D by 10 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Example. Typical recommendation for adults, 600 to 800 IU daily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problems with these studies that recommendation was based on is they were conducted during the winter months at far north latitudes when people's vitamin D levels are going to be rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then another group of researchers from Creighton University in Omaha basically took a look at it, and one of the top vitamin D experts, Robert Heaney, is there, and he calculated that, you know, based on real data, what we need is probably more in the neighborhood of 7,000 IU daily of vitamin D. And so, you know, when you look at the RDAs and the daily values that are on food labels, I mean, this is one example of how far off they can be just because the people who came up with the original recommendation were so far off.
And the vitamin D supplement is just a little bitty round.
It is so tiny.
Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And getting the 7,000 wouldn't be all that difficult because they usually sell that in either the 1,000 or 2,000 IU.
Yeah, level. And you can get 5,000 IU. Mm. I take a 10,000 IU capsule. Again, we're talking about something that's so small that if you dropped it on the carpet, you probably would never find it.
We were talking earlier, Jack, about pre-diabetes control and controlling blood sugar. Vitamin K1 helps women with pre-diabetes control their blood sugar, according to some new research that was done, I think, in the Middle East.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting. There's a lot of really good nutrition research coming out of Iran, of all places. And
normally we just hear about their nuclear
ambitions. Exactly.
Not about their health concerns.
Yeah. And so this study focused on 82 women who were pre-diabetic. They were given 1,000 micrograms of vitamin K1, which is the form of vitamin K you find in leafy green veggies. And their blood sugar levels improved by 15%. And their insulin levels, I think, dropped by around 28%. So that's a little bit more than a quarter, a little bit less than a third improvement in terms of insulin levels.
Watch out about those energy drinks. We've talked about that on a couple of our other health segments with Dr. Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine. Also have talked about that with Dr. Woosley on our Your Meds monthly segment. Energy drinks increase hyperactivity, according to new research.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the safest energy drink out there is the old standby called coffee. When you look at the stuff that comes in bottles or cans or, you know, these, you know, 2 or 5 hour energy drinks, they contain caffeine. They typically contain sugar. And one recent study found that they did, in fact, increase hyperactive behavior.
Jack, in the remaining minute or so, how was your trip to Italy, other than the fact that it was very hot, it was very humid? What about nutrition-wise?
Well, you know, I love Italian food, but I'm a careful eater here. In fact, last week I had my birthday dinner at an Italian restaurant.
Last Friday, your birthday?
Yes. They're just a bit too much pasta, a bit too much bread. I tried to avoid that as much as I could, but I at times felt like I was just swimming in a sea of carbohydrates. And so what I did enjoy was the fresh fish because I was often near the coast. That's where the cuisine really shined. But pasta, that's not what my body really works best
at. And it can be so tempting.
At.
You know, they bring out the fresh bread and maybe the little olive oil to dip it in, and you say, well, I'll just have Ed shaking his head. He knows, yeah. I'll just have one little piece of bread. Well, that, of course, leads to half of the loaf, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, one of the other problems, and I think this really fits most of us here in southern Arizona, you know, having dinner at 9:30 or 10 doesn't work for me.
No.
And, you know, I think most people here tend to eat dinner right around 6 o'clock or
which
or
is better for the
hour.
Digestion.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
All right. Jack Chalom, thanks. We can find the Nutrition Reporter where?
NutritionReporter.com. Colin asked about diabetes. I've got two sample chapters from my Stop Prediabetes book up there. It's a free download in PDF format. I've got excerpts from some of my other books, a whole year's worth of newsletters.
Great.
Lots of free stuff.
Thank you, Jack. Have a great week. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then Ed Alexander will be engineering and producing the morning shows starting at 6 o'clock. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with Ed at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. Until then, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.